Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
So I just randomly entered the sweepstakes and somehow I won. So I literally got those three CDs for free.
Hey there, it's Jim Lenihan here on Rockin' the Suburbs. Patrick and I are off. We have been off last week and all this week on our summer vacation. And in our place, you're going to hear from Paul Hayden and Vasanth Ramamurthy. And they are going to talk today about, I guess we'll call it miscellaneous American punk, grab bag punk. From parts of the U.S. that they have not already discussed in this series. This is part seven of a 10-part series, and here we go.
All right, Vasanth, what era are we going to talk about next?
Yeah, well, we just talked about L.A., Bay Area, and Midwest, but there's a bunch of other bands we want to talk about that don't really fit into, you know, one specific area. So this, we're going to call this the assorted groups from across the U.S. So why don't you start us off with the first band?
All right. My first band is going to be Mission of Burma, and the album is Versus. It came out in 1982 on Ace of Hearts Records, which is a pretty big label out of Boston. Other bands of note on that label were The Liars and The Neighborhoods and a few more. But anyway, it's the only full-length album released during their classic period, and I think it's an art punk classic, and I think it's sequenced perfectly, although the band would disagree. They did not care for Train being the second song, and in particular Clint did not like his vocal performance on that album, on that song. But I would say no, I think it just adds to the charm, and it still really sounds fresh and vital today. This is the album recommended by my college friend, Ed. You know, I felt like a junkie after I heard the Sex Pistols. I came up to him and said, "Hey, man, I need more of this. What do you got?" And he said, "Well, what do you like?" And I said, "Well, I like guitars." And he said, "Well, try Mission of Burma." And it was a great choice. Roger Miller creates all kinds of noise on his six string, and Peter Prescott's percussion clinic results in one of the best drum sounds I've ever heard. And then you've got Clint Conley throwing in some bass lines reminiscent of Joy Division, and just a great overall sound. Part of Boston's punk scene, they claimed they weren't a punk band. But then I listened to That's How I Escaped My Certain Fate, and I'm like, what?
Yeah.
And there's a couple other kind of fun facts. The first and last vocal sound is Peter Prescott screaming.
Which he did a lot.
Yeah, which he did a lot. So you hear it on Secrets, and then you hear it on the end of That's How I Escaped My Certain Fate.
Yeah.
And this is the band that on their live album, The Horrible Truth About Burma, they exposed me to the Stooges and Perubu through a couple of covers on there. So big props to Mission of Burma. Probably of all the albums we're going to talk about during this podcast, this is close to my favorite.
Yeah, this is an incredible pick. So I'm jealous that you're able to hear them so early on. I first heard them in I think 97 is when the albums were first reissued by Ryko Disc, and I happened to get them in a funny way. Like I don't know how I read about them, and then that the reissues are coming, and I just happened to go to Ryko Disc website or something, and they were having like a sweepstakes giveaway for like the entire catalog, which is the two, the EP, the album, and the live album. So I just randomly entered the sweepstakes and somehow I won. So I literally got those three CDs for free when they came
Awesome.
out. So yeah. So yeah, that was amazing to get and listen to all that stuff. But yeah, you're absolutely right. Roger Miller, hands down, one of the best guitarists of the 80s, like the sounds he makes. And I think the other secret weapon, which we haven't talked about, is the tape loop. So their Mission Burma is very unique be from these other bands, because besides the three members that you mentioned, they had a guy, Martin Swope, who was basically in charge of tape manipulation. So what he would do is he would, it's basically a looping, like he would record, they did this in studio and in concert. He would record the band or like Roger Miller's guitar on like tape and literally like, you know, splice it, play it back, and like so creating like feedback and repetition and loops in their live sound and on record and stuff. So you can hear that sort of looping and sort of feedback things that he's doing. So that definitely adds to the sort of whole experience of Burma, the artiness as well as with just the guitar wizardry. So yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's how I escape my certain fate. This might be your only chance.
Yeah, so what album would you like to talk about, Vasant?
I am going to talk about a band that has somewhat of a connection, which I'll get to, but that is the Wipers from Portland, Oregon. The album I want to talk about is Youth of America. This is their second album released in 1981, led by Greg Sage, who is the guitarist and main songwriter of the Wipers. So I first heard the Wipers because Nirvana, Kurt Cobain were big fans of them, and on their couple of their B-sides and other sort of outtakes, they covered multiple Wipers songs, D7 and Return of the Rat, which are on their first album, Is This Real? So when I was deep into Nirvana in like the mid-90s then, that's what kind of my first exposure to the Wipers. So much like we talked about Burma and Roger Miller, Greg Sage is another sort of guitar virtuoso from the punk scene. The title track here, Youth of America, is like almost 11 minutes long, and again is like his soloing and kind of screaming feedback and all this kind of crazy guitar work on that song. So yeah, this album I think is only like six or seven songs. It's pretty short, but like, you know, most of the songs are a little bit longer, you know, 5 minutes plus. And as I mentioned, the title track is long. And then there's other songs that have some other interesting instrumentation, like a piano.
What you think is what you find. There's no one else because you're blind. And it's taken so long. It's taken so long.
so long. It's taken, 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 taken so long. It's taken so long. It's taken, taken, taken.
And like an organ and stuff, and so yeah, they were definitely combining that sort of garage punk kind of punk. They were just a three piece, so it was just guitar, bass, drums, but also adding in these other unique instruments. So yeah, Youth of America, I love this one. I love the whole Wipers catalog, really. But yeah, this out of I guess the first three, which are considered the best, I would pick Youth of America. And oh, the connection I was mentioning before was that on the Burma reunion era, like from the 2000s onward, at some point on a EP, Mission to Burma actually covered Youth of America. So if you're
Oh.
into either band, you would want to check that out because it's great to hear one amazing guitarist, Roger Miller, cover another and Greg Sage and the Wipers. So yeah.
Excellent. That's a great pick. And what's interesting about the Wipers, back when I was sort of getting into everything in the 80s and such, the only album I could find was Over the Edge. And it's great, but it's pretty typical, I guess, of the time. It wasn't doing anything radically different. And I think I'd heard of the first two, but I could never find them for whatever reason. And then, yeah, Nirvana hits, and I ended up picking up, I think, directly from the band, the triple CD with the
Yeah.
first three.
The three.
And
I have that as well. Yep.
yeah, and listening to Youth of America, it's like, I should say this. I remember reading about it, and people were not happy because it broke so much from the kind of, the standards, so to speak. And, what's this 8, 9, 10, 11 minute song doing? And it's slow, and it's this, and it's that. But and you listen to it now, it's just like, guy was, he was definitely, expanding the sound. Again, he felt those limitations that weren't gonna be sustainable, and he's just like, well, I'm just gonna do what I want. And
Yeah.
again, I get the feeling he was somewhat isolated, away from the big scenes. So that seems to be another thread running through this
Right.
podcast. And this stuff sounds way more, contemporary than 90% of what was coming out at that time from your kind of, run-of-the-mill punk band. So
Yeah.
I totally am on board with them, and this is a great pick. Texas for a band called Scratch Acid. And They've released a self-titled EP, and that's what I'm going to talk about here. EPs were pretty big in the 80s. Chronic Town was pretty successful, and I think at some point the Village Voice had a poll where they even voted on the best EP of the year. There were so many, but anyway, this album is eight songs and what I call varying degrees of crazy. Song titles like Cannibal, Dead Princess, which was inspired by the Marquis de Sade, and Mess gives you a clue as to where their heads are at. Then you've got Owner's Lament, which is really unusual in that it featured string instruments, which, if you heard them at all, I mean, you very rarely did you hear them in a punk song. So they were definitely thinking outside the box. Band members, you got drummer Ray Washam and guitarist Brett Bradford, really shine, but ultimately they're background players once David Yow steps up to the mic. He finds the perfect balance of accessibility and lunacy. An unhinged performance throughout. And then some of you may know David Yow and bassist David William Sims, who went on to form the Jesus Lizard, who were players in the 90s.
You kind of stole my point a little bit. Like the it's very interesting how the first song Cannibal and the last song Lay Screaming are both have this pretty violent imagery, and then in the middle of that song you mentioned, Owner's Lament, is this very pretty pretty song that has a string section, so it's a real sandwich there between the two. But yeah, Cannibal is just a incredible start to any album or EP. I also think you can hear the roots of the Jesus Lizard in this band for sure. This the sort of muscular bass and drums and guitar, but it's maybe a little bit weirder. The Jesus Lizard didn't use strings very much, if at all, and there's sort of that Texas acid tinge weirdness, that we may mention some of these other bands, but that was definitely a factor here with Scratch Acid.
What do you want to talk about next?
The last pick in this section I have is for a band called Honor Roll, and that is Role, not Roll. This is a band from Richmond, Virginia. They started out as kind of a standard hardcore band, but then pivoted towards the mid-80s to a more sort of post-punk sound. But the two main albums are The Pretty Song and Rictus, which is came out in 1989 and 1986, respectively. You can pretty easily pick up their whole catalogs on one CD called Album. I don't think it's in print anymore, but I'm pretty sure it's there on streaming to listen to and stuff. So Honor Roll was kind of being out of Richmond, Virginia. They were kind of a in between scenes. They played a lot with the DC bands, but they also went down south to North Carolina scene. So like they played with like Corrosion of Conformity, which was an early sort of hardcore thrash band out of North Carolina. And both what's interesting is both the people in both scenes, like Mac McConn from Superchunk is a huge Honor Roll fan, and because he when he was starting out in that North Carolina scene, the Honor Roll was very big for him, as well as people who are of that age in the DCC, not quite like Ian MacKaye type, because he came before then, but sort of the later generation of the DC bands were pretty big on Honor Roll. Again, another common thread is we got a pretty expert guitarist here named Penn Rawlings. And the other cool thing about Honor Roll is the lyrics are very interesting. Bob Schick, who's the lead singer, he passed away a few years ago, but he kind of wrote more introspective and sort of more thoughtful lyrics than your average punk post-punk band. So and then again with the difference in instrumentation, there's one song on here called Break the Ice, which is sort of this kind of gentle instrumental, which kind of haunting. They use a flute in that song, so yeah, Honor Roll, great band. I know Patrick Foster's a fan, and so hopefully others will catch on and check it out.
yeah, there's going to be a few coming up here where I had no familiarity at all with them. So I did a little listening while we were working on the podcast, and my notes for this one are they are definitely doing their own thing, and also heard possibly a little bit of what I guess what they call math rock,
Yes.
where which at that time, I don't think was a thing, but they were definitely pushing boundaries there with the guitar and with some of the rhythms, and I dug it.
You are 100% on the money, because the band Penn Rawlings started after Honor Roll was called Breadwinner, who also put out a bunch of EPs on Merge, and they are considered one of the sort of forefathers of math rock, because that band was instrumental fully, but it was a lot of sort of the stop start rhythms and kind of crazy guitar signature. So yeah, he's definitely a key figure in that. So yeah, your observation is correct there.
Every Thursday, Sally brings in all the things and dumps them on the office floor. So
All right. Any other albums you want to talk about from this?
Yeah. So yeah, just we talked about, Austin here, Portland, Boston, and Richmond. Some other kind of album just scattered from across the America. Another one from Austin was a band called The Dicks. They put out an album called Kill from the Heart that came out in SST Records. But yeah, so they're sort of a more blues-based punk band, but they're pretty cool. The Dicks put out a pretty important single called Hate the Police, which was covered by Mudhoney later. So they're a good band. Can't go without mentioning Bad Brains, Rock for Light, produced by some guy named Rick Ocasek on that album of theirs. We got Meat Puppets 2. Again, Meat Puppets doing their own thing down in Arizona where there wasn't too much going on. Meat Puppets 2, I think most people have probably heard just because, the three Nirvana covers on the Unplugged. Nirvana, I'm noticing, is a common yeah. theme. I mentioned them with the Wipers. I mentioned them with Meat Puppets. I mentioned them earlier too, how I heard them through some other covers they did. Yeah. But yeah. And then lastly, The Misfits, Walk Among Us. I've heard this described, heard The Misfits described this way, about how they are, at the same time, they're the greatest punk band, but they're in another way, they're also not a punk band at all. And if you think about it, it really makes sense in the sense that, yeah, their songs are, very catchy guitar punk songs in the style of Ramones or whatever. In another sense, they're not at all like a punk band because they're not part of like any scene per se. They weren't on any like indie label, really. Glenn Danzig is not at all a member of any of these kind of scenes. He's no Ian MacKaye or Henry Rollins or anything like that. They did tour with some of the other bands, but like as far as like just the whole embrace of the costumes and just I don't know how to describe it exactly, but just like you can feel that they're not really like the rest of the bands that we're talking about, and yet musically they completely are. So yeah. So yeah, I would say yeah, but definitely worth listening to The Misfits. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They had a short but fruitful run, and finally got their due, possibly from Metallica, covering what was it?
Is it Mommy, Can I Go and Kill Tonight? Is that the one they covered? I'm not
is
sure.
Is that or Die Die My Darling?
Okay.
The Way You Bite. Something, yeah. Again, on their Garage Inc., they covered some of their songs, and I remember reading that Danzig got a nice payout for that. That may have kind of pushed him to like get the band back together and get his songs out there. But yeah, I've always loved them, and again, they're a hard band to find in print back at the time. So it took a reissue program from I think Caroline,
right,
putting out a eventually everything through this Coffin box set. But but I think in terms of albums, Walk Among Us is the one that you want to get, and they're just a great band. Period.
Yep. It's funny we've mentioned Metallica a couple of times as well,
yeah.
covering these bands. So yeah.
Yeah. So giving back. All right, that's gonna close out the '80s U.S. Assorted.
All right, that's the end of part 7 of Punk Series, and tomorrow the guys are going to talk about Washington D.C. punk. Now that's something that Patrick Foster really knows a lot about, so I know he's excited to hear that episode. So tune in tomorrow, like Patrick, on Rockin' the Suburbs.